Okay.
Recording in progress.
Fantastic. So hi, I'm Toby Leader. I'm a Shatran and a dating coach. And I've been doing this for about 40 years now. Ever since we're married, my husband and I used to have a book that said Zachar on one side and the cave on the other side. And we both deposit names of all our friends that need to get married. And we say, maybe this one for that one. We made about 10 shidduchim the first year we were married. And those people are marrying off their grandchildren now. It's unbelievable. So, but of course I brought in 14 kids into the world, went on shlichus to Sydney. And so, you know, took it easy with the shidduchim while I'm raising my family. And today, 41 years later, I could say we've, you know, Baruch Hashem, made over 100 shidduchim and married off 13 of my 14 children. And I could focus completely on other people's children now and help make shidduchim. So I've been really focused for the last couple of years to create this thing called the interview. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into it much, but I'm going to go into tips. I'll show you what I have here is my list of what I'm going to talk to you about today. And just tips. I want very practical tips, tachlis. I don't want to philosophize or give even, you'll get the chizuk through the tips because you'll get what the gist of my message. So let me start with number one. I, as a shadchan, I don't know if you've ever made a shidduch before, or some of your children or siblings had shidduchim happen, or you were witness to shidduch, but I totally, totally see, I'm convinced 1,000%, that all shidduchim come from Hashem, like really. It's not like I was such a genius and I was able to put this one together with that one. So from my experience, I really got to believe and have such an emuna that Hashem will do it in the right time with the right one. And I see it. Remember I said I made about 100 shidduchim? Every one of those 100 totally came from, I don't know where, Hashem put it in my mind or sent it to me, and it just went. And it was the right time and the right place. So I really believe, I'm going to start with that preface, the foundation of, we really, really, really have to believe, we believe in Hashem. I know that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are today. We believe in Hashem. But I need you to know that especially with shidduchim, it really is Hashem running the show. We could try so hard, and then all of a sudden, it just comes the right time. I want to give you an example. You know, when a baby is born, we all had children, right? We all know that we're expecting for that particular date, March 12th, whatever. And all of a sudden, that baby came March 1 instead of March 12th. Like, there was a time that baby had to be born, come into this world, and in a split second, it's born. Like, it wasn't meant to be born March 12th. Hashem has a timing for everything, even when babies are being born in this world. There's a time for your child to meet their Bashert. And I see it over and over and over again that it's all in the timing, and then a few more things which I'll discuss with you. So timing is, it could happen in a split second. Let me give you an example, something that just happened now, literally a week ago, okay? So this person from Sydney, a boy from Sydney, has been trying for 5 years maybe, a shidduch. And we're very limited. How many girls will there be and how many boys? And that type. And then we tried Melbourne and nothing was happening for him. Somebody said to him, you know what? Put your profile into Chabad Match. You never know because it's an international database and the whole world is looking in there from every corner of the world. Maybe your Bashert is in another part of the world. It's not in Sydney or Melbourne, so you never know. So he listened. He put his profile in there. One week later, he gets a message with his profile. I don't know if you ever saw the algorithm ones where this is what Chabad Match, that they send an algorithm, two halves of a page, the boy's profile, the girl's profile, and you get a message. The algorithm thinks you are a match. So the boy gets that, and he comes to me and he says, Mrs. Leader, the algorithm thinks I'm a match with this girl. Can you check it out? Here's the girl's shadchan. So I call up the lady from London. And I say, listen, we got this idea from the algorithm, right? That's Hashem's interesting ways of making things happen. Hashem needed this couple to get engaged, and he said, okay, I need a keli. I can't just throw it in the air. It's not going to happen. So the boy made a keli. He put his profile in Chabad Match. 1 week later, he gets matched up with this girl from South Africa. He tells me it looks good. I call the shadchan. She speaks to the girl. She said, yeah, it looks good. They Zoom dated. Do you know what Zoom dated means? They went on Zoom 3 times a week for about 6 weeks, twice a week for 6 weeks. And they kept saying to me, it's so scarily, that was the word he used, so scarily good. It's going really well. Anyway, a week ago, he goes down to South Africa to meet her in person. And a week later, they're engaged just now. Unbelievable. This guy was trying so hard in Australia, wasn't, because his Bashert was in South Africa. Hashem has all the Shidduchim waiting, but there's a time when it has to happen. The minute the guy made a keli, Hashem put it together. We Shadchanim are just messengers. He looks around and he says, who's doing the work? Let's see. Toby's at her computer. I'll give her the idea. And he just throws me in to help make it happen. We're just messengers. We're not geniuses. And, you know, we're not even, it's not our heads. It's Hashem making it happen when he thinks it has to happen. So number one, I want you to believe that, okay? It's going to happen at the right time for your child. That person was, so what's my message to you? We got to make a keli. We got to make something different. You know, if you keep doing what you did, I love that saying, if you keep doing what you did, you'll keep getting what you got. So if we keep doing that same thing year after year, whatever, calling 3 shatranim, 5 of them, whatever, the same one, you'll keep getting what you got. So I believe in change. Do something else. Add something to your story, to your mission. Make something different, okay? And I'll give you the ideas. It's going to come up now. What can you do different to make a keli, like this boy made a keli? Something else. Don't keep doing the same thing because you'll keep getting the same results, okay? I want you to break the cycle, do something different, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, okay? I'm going to give you a few examples how the Eibishter really makes it at the right time. I'm going to give you an example. I walked into, somebody invited me to a barbecue. This was in Melbourne, and I don't know them. I was never there before, but I said, okay, why not? I had no intentions of shidduchim or anything. I walk in, but just like a car dealer notices everybody's cars, I notice the singles in the room. So I find a girl standing by the wall. I go to the lady, who's this girl? I didn't even hear her voice. I didn't even know her name. I didn't have a conversation, nothing. I just said, who is she? And she tells me it's her daughter that just came back from seminary. I go, oh, she'd be perfect for this guy called Shmuley. I go, I don't know where that came from, but I don't know, just looking at it just feels. And the Eibishter just put it into my intuition. It's not even my intuition. Hashem just needed them to get engaged. So he gave me the idea. He said, you're there. Okay, make it happen. It's their time. And they did. 2 weeks later, they're engaged. It is all coming from Hashem, but we got to do our part. And I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to go into that now, okay? This is what I did. Remember, I married off 13 kids, and I picked up tips along the way. Besides all the other people I made shidduchim, these are tips that really worked. One, do one thing a day towards your child's shidduch. Not once a week, not once a month, but one thing a day. It could be a davening, it could be a tehillim, it could be helping a kala and say, this is an honor of my child to get married. It could be anything, but for me, what I used to do is pick up the phone and speak to people. If I'm in the grocery store and I see a lady, I go, you know what? I didn't do anything today for my daughter's shidduch. I'll ask that lady if she knows anybody. So in the grocery store, I said, hey, by the way, my daughter is on the market. Do you know anybody? And you just never know where it comes from. So I say, do one thing a day. You might want to put up a sign in your office that says, do one thing a day. You don't have to say what for. So everybody has to know, okay? Do one thing a day towards your child's shidduch. Another thing, if you're able to sit down with your child and prepare with them the following, if not, you can refer them to me because that's what I do for my life. Every single day I interview singles, and it's a 2-hour interview on Zoom from anywhere in the world. And I help them figure out, even though they may know it, but in the process, I get to know them very well, very well. Help them figure out, together we work out what their 5 deal breakers are. They have a list of 20 things they want, but we downsize it, and it really, really works. It helps. They come out of the interview with 5 most important things that they will not negotiate. These 5 things, whatever they are. Like, one could be shlichus. Like, no, I'm definitely going on shlichus. That is my dream, my goal. If he doesn't want to, it's a deal breaker. That could be one. How emotionally stable? What's important for you in emotional stability? Let me hear. And then we go on with the 5 things that are most important. You know what happens? They walk out. So I want you to do it with your children if you're able to. You could do it on Zoom if they're out of town. You could say, I want to work this out with you. What are your deal breakers? Because if you both know what they are, you as a mother can actually make the research based on their deal breakers. You know how many times I hear girls saying, or guys, mostly over 25, saying, my mother doesn't get me. She's still asking for what she wants, what she thinks is right. And if I'm old enough to get married, I'm old enough to tell her what my deal breakers are. And the parents are still not listening. So I think it's super important to really hear what your child wants, not what you think. Because you're the one making the research, if you are the one. And you need to ask based on their deal breakers. And I chose 5 because it's reasonable. It shouldn't be 100 things. It should be these 5 most important qualities that they're looking for in a spouse. And then I have a tip for you when you make, because everything is really based on the research, what you find out, right? And I have a tip for you about the research. It's like the most important part of the shidduch is the research. When you make that phone call, you call, let's say, the first person on the list called Mrs. Shapiro. You go, hi, Mrs. Shapiro. Let's say it's for your daughter, and it's a guy called Yossi Cohn. I'm making it up. Hi, Mrs. Shapiro. I'm calling about a boy, Yossi Cohn. He put you as a reference. What do you know about him? What could you tell me about him? I say, this is just from my experience, to listen to the first words that come out of that person's mouth, Mrs. Shapiro's mouth. The first words is going to probably be everything about him. For example, she may say, I don't really know him well. Like, he was here like 2 years ago on Shlichus, and I just had him for a few. Like, she might be vague about her answer. Maybe she doesn't want to take responsibility. Make note of her first reaction, the first words that come out of her mouth, and put a question mark. I don't call it red flags. I just call it question marks. Like, you need to really find out. This is what you want. When the person answers the question, hi, Mrs. Schwartz, do you know this Yossi Cohn? He worked for you. You want them to say, oh my gosh, this Yossi Cohn, I've never had any. Okay, I'm exaggerating. It doesn't have to be that big and amazing. But the first words are going to tell you everything. Like, he's such a kind-hearted guy. You know, the only bacha that stayed behind to help clear the table after the meal. He sat with my kids on the couch. Like, they'll be nonstop raving about him. It's a good start. I'm not telling you it's going to be everything that you need and want. But listen to the first words. That's most important. And then the second thing, one more thing I'll just tell you. The second thing is to call non-references, people that are not on the reference list. So you would say to Mrs. Shapiro, by the way, who else might know him from the community that I don't have on my... And she'll give you 1 or 2 names. Those are the people you really want to talk to that's not on the reference list. And the third thing, and then you could ask me anything. The third thing is... I just went blank. 1 second. Open-ended questions. So in my website, which we'll give you later, I have a list called 30 open-ended questions. There's 30 of them. You don't ask all 30 of them, but choose the ones that are your child's deal breakers. Like, choose 5 of them, like highlight 5 of them. Your child should do that. And these are the five open-ended questions you're going to ask. You don't say, is he kind? You don't want his answers like yes or no. You want a description of his personality. So they have to say it in a lot of words. For example, so tell me, this Yossi, how would you say he's able to consider other people's feelings or thoughts? Are there any examples of him going out of his way for people? So you're asking an open-ended question where they have to talk. Like if they say, oh, I can't really think of one, so it means it didn't really make an impression. It's not a red flag, it's just a question mark. You want to make sure that he qualifies the five deal breakers that your daughter wants or son wants. And by asking open-ended questions, you will get a lot of answers. Okay, go ahead. Do you want to ask anything before I continue? Anybody? If you want. Should I just keep going?
Usually we save the questions to the end.
Sure.
If anybody wants.
Sure.
Please unmute yourself.
Sure. Okay. No problem. Let me continue. Okay. These are tips. And by the way, I'm happy to share my notes in short later so you don't, you know, you could have what to, you won't forget. And you could have what to refer to and say, oh, that's what she said about that. You're not going to like everything I say, and you don't have to like everything I say. Even if you get two things or one thing out of the whole conversation, it's worth it. Because then you could see things in one more better way than you have before this talk. So I'm happy to share everything I know, but it's me. It's coming from my world of experience. It's not you. You don't have to do all of this. Just even take out one thing, I'd be happy. Okay? If we could convince our children to make dating their number one priority when they get a date. Like, let's say an idea comes and everybody agrees, and now it's time to make the date. Like, honey, when are you available? You say to your daughter, and she goes, let's see, Tuesday night I have l'chaim for my friend. Wednesday night there's a wedding on, and Thursday I'm supposed to babysit. So maybe next week, whatever. We need to impress. Remember, we are the role models of our children, and they're following us, what we think and our attitude, our perception of things, how important things are. If we impress upon our children that dating should be number one before your friends l'chaim, before, because it's your life, it's your future, it's everything that's ahead of you in this date. We need to make it a priority. So we need to share with our children what we're thinking, not be afraid to say what we feel. Honey, maybe you could go to the l'chaim at the end of the date at 12 o'clock when, you know, the date is number one. Just prioritize the dating. Some of the kids are giving me ridiculous excuses why they can't date those days. Like, you know, oh, my friend has a welcome party for her neighbor, so I can't do a date that night. You know what I mean? It's up to us to make it important to us. Our children will pick it up. Okay. Here's an idea that I did with my children, and other people did it, and they say it works amazing, amazing. I call it, but you could, don't worry about the title. I call it a WhatsApp blast. Blast, B-L-A-S-T. What is that? Every month, I send a little paragraph, not a lot, not a big one, only to close family and close friends, not to the world. So let's say your family is about 20 people or even 10, and close family and friends are another 10. So let's say a minimum of around 20 people get this, right? These are people that really care about you and your children that need to get married, right? Okay, not just your neighbors or people out there. Only close friends and family, and this is what it says. Hi, just a reminder, Rivki is available at the moment. Here is her profile. If you could spend 1 minute to think of somebody for her, it would be greatly appreciated. And you attach her profile. I promise you, from the 30 people that get it, one will respond, you know, I just met this guy, Hashgacha Pratis, you know, maybe a good idea. And things have happened, I promise you, from these WhatsApp things. Because people need to be reminded. We all forget. We forget. You think I remember all my nieces and nephews? I have 100 things on my plate. But if I get that WhatsApp that reminds me once a month, I go, Wait, maybe this one, maybe that one. And Hashkacha Prat, that's the Keli I'm talking about. Hashem may say, hey, wait, I need this person, this couple to get engaged. He'll do it through that WhatsApp. Like, these are tips how to make a Keli, okay? So that's a good one. It works. Another one. The Shatchan, okay? I've been a Shatchan for 40 years and plus. From, I don't know how many people I've spoken to in my life. I can't even give a number. Do you see this here? Can I tell you what that is for a minute? Okay, this is my Shidduch Express board.
I was wondering, I thought it was the hostages.
Okay, my Shidduch Express, but I don't think you could see exactly who they are. Okay, so everyone that I interview, this two-hour interview where I get to know and help them figure out, and they're now in my database, okay? Every person gets I'm looking who I could share. I'm trying to find one that wouldn't mind if I showed you up close. Oh, here, this girl's engaged to get married, so she wouldn't mind. Okay, I'm supposed to take her off. So this girl this is her card, okay? Her name is Esther Israel. She's just engaged now. And it says a little bit about her. Very, you see, she's 5 foot. She does a retail job, whatever. She tutors. She's from Sydney, Australia, and she's 20 years old. What does this do for me? It's called my express board. Every 2 weeks, this is what I make up with the people, and I'm going to teach you what to do, even if you don't do the interview. Every 2 weeks, every person that I interview needs to contact me with one word, either available or busy, if they're dating. Then when I get that in my phone, because every day I get about 5 or 10 of them, I go here and I go, okay, she's in the red zone, she's 20 years old. Who do I have from the guys and all the bacharma here of the same colored zone? And I'll tell you what they are. And she needs somebody from 20 to 25. I have these 6 choices and I recommend a name and then we, you know, switch profiles. And that's how I do it. This is called my express. It's just aids, different aids. I have different little ways that I get the people, you know, matching up. What are the color zones? Red is very firm, very Hasidish, very intense, extreme in everything Yiddishkeit, okay? That's the red zone. They want shlichus, you know, and the guy davens 3 times a day with the minion. Okay, get the idea? The green zone is medium, average. They're not that extreme, but they're not modern, okay? Average. And the blue zone is modern. Like, the guys shave the beards, so they're not machmir on everything. Super modern. And I'll just turn it around to show you the other side. And that's everybody that's 30 and over or divorced. Anyone that's 30 and over or divorced is here. All the girls here and all the guys here. And I have a lot, as you see, of 30 and over, up to 75, 77. A lady that was divorced 3 times called me from Beit Shemesh. She says, I'd like to do the interview. I want to figure out what I need. And maybe, just like I'm calling you, there could be a guy for me. I'd love to get married again. So she's on there. And I've matched up some people from there. So that's what that's about. Why did I say that? So I was saying earlier, from 400 people, about 400 people I interviewed in the last few years, I've spoken to how many mothers? I don't know. Double that, triple that. Maybe 3, 4, 5, if I want to be generous, have gone out of the way to give me a little tip or a little something. Like, I'll give you an example. Even a bacher, and he's still single, but he's such a nice guy. This one bacher gives $100 into PayPal to every shatchan that sends him out on a date. He's already 30 by now. So he's trying everything. And that's a great one because I remember him. It's something different to everybody, just nudging and nudging. Yeah, you said maybe. Da, da, da. So generally, everybody's on the same boat. And then there are the few exceptions that are doing things. Remember I said, if you keep doing what you did, you'll keep getting what you got. this guy is doing something else. He's giving $100. It's worth it for him. That's his shtadlus. Every date you send me out on, he puts $100 in. What shatchan wouldn't be encouraged to maybe look for him for shidduch? So that's one idea. And the other one is somebody put $18 into my PayPal just for trying. Another one puts $180 into my PayPal. And they're kind of like subconsciously on the top of my mind. Like, oh, I really should find her. When I find the name, I say I should really look for her. Because they were so nice to go out of their way to do something unusual for the shatchan that works so hard. I do this all day. Nobody knows. They think they're the only one, but there's 399 other people. So give the shatchan a little tip. I promise you, it'll take you a very long way. It'll make a difference if you're looking to do something different. Okay? Next. If a date doesn't work, this is what you could tell your children because it's a nice thing. If a date doesn't work for her, say to her, do you think there's a friend of yours that might be suitable? Because now you know him. You went out with him 2 times, 3 times. Maybe you know somebody for him. It's always nice to see if we could refer that date that didn't work to someone that we may know could be a good fit. That's a hishtadlus. That's trying to help another person. We're told that we should try to do things to help other people in shidduchim, and that could make a difference, okay? So if you're asking, what can I do? So that's one thing we could do. Okay. Recommending that date for someone else is a great hishtadlus. Another one is to help a kala. I was told, this is what I learned. Help another kala if she's getting married. Like, what can I do to help you? You know, be there for her for the l'chaim, getting dressed, whatever you can do to help another kala. That's a keli to get a bracha that Hashem says, okay, fine. They're trying extra hard. I'll give it to them. So to help and daven for another girl, a friend, like put her into your tillum. Okay, I'll give you more ideas. One of the things that the Rebbe says is to think, if you have an older child, if we need to forgive or ask forgiveness or apologize for something that was done wrong. Because maybe in a past date, it didn't end off right. And I know this happened to somebody because I work with so many people, where one was left hanging, like he just dumped her kind of thing. Nobody explained to her anything. He didn't explain the shatchan, he just went cold turkey. What do they call that, ghosting or something? I don't know. So this girl was devastated, and for years, nothing was happening for him. Somebody said, did you hurt somebody's feelings in dating? Maybe, go back. And he remembered this one date like 5 years earlier, and he asked forgiveness. And things worked out for him at the end. The Rebbe says, I'm quoting the Rebbe, that we should make sure that we never hurt a person. It's very sensitive, the dating. And if we're having trouble or problems or challenges and our kids are getting older or it's just not happening, to think back if we hurt anybody along the way or if somebody hurt us. Okay? Another one. They say also about paying the shatchan eventually. You know, important to pay, even if it's $100, for the shidduch when it happens, not to forget the shatchan or put it off. It happened a few stories where 7 years later, this couple didn't have kids and he met the guy that made the shidduch. It happened to be my husband. Met him on the street and said, listen, here's $10 and you could give it back to me and say, this is shatchanis, because I think you never paid me shatchanis. It was like a friend, so he thought he didn't have to pay. The guy gave him the $10, and sure enough, a year later, they had a child, their first child. The next time that guy met my husband, he gave him $400. He said, that wasn't enough, the $10. I'm going to give you real shatchanis. And he took care of it because he was so grateful. Very important to remember that. Okay, next. I tell the singles for their benefit, and I've seen this for real when I send people out on dates, no texting with each other, even throughout engagement. It's just my opinion. They could do what they want if they want. You could only suggest it because you're the mother and they're old enough to get married, old enough to decide what they want to do and not do. But you could suggest it and say, I heard that it's a good idea not to have any texting because This is what I've witnessed. I've witnessed breakups of engagements broken up because she thought he meant this, and he thought, and she didn't get an answer quick enough, and he didn't care fast enough. And all this emotional stuff that goes on with texting that is so cold and dry. There's no emotion in texting. It's cold words. And engagements have broken up because of the texting, taking it on, and it went unlimited. And it's just, I just tell everybody, I say, if you can, discipline yourselves from the beginning. No texting. Confidentiality. A big thing going on today is young singles are sharing with their friends who they just dated, and stay away from them. He is such a narcissist, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and all the Lashon Hara. So we, as role models, can make that hishtad list with our children and say, you know what, if we could hold our tongue back from sharing who we're dating and how it went, it could be a keli for getting the right shidduch, because the Lashon Hara is not going to get us much success. It really, it's ruining and killing. You know how many people I read a shidduch to, and they say, oh, my friend's sister dated him, said he was a rotten good for nothing, like that. And it just kills off shidduchim. So I think we could pass that message on to our children if we can. I have so much more, but I don't know. Should we stop and question, or what do you think? Should I just keep going? Tell me what you think.
I think you're sharing jewels with us. I think that each of us have so much gain. Like you said, no pressure to take all of this pieces of advice, but if each of us leaves with just one thing that we're doing different, I think that you've managed to change, you know, we're changing course.
Okay.
We could pause for questions.
Okay, comments. Let's pause for questions for 5 minutes, and then I'll...
I definitely want you to continue.
Okay. So... anything on your minds that you want to share or comment?
They can unmute themselves now.
Okay.
Should I pause the recording?
Yeah, so I would say for some of us, I'm talking for myself, we really don't have a network of family necessarily, like who to, you know, to send
the WhatsApp
updates
thing
to. And because we're on campus, we are pretty far out of it. So there really isn't like a natural network.
What about old friends, like from even your old school friends, or somebody that cares about you, just a friend, one or two?
They're too young.
Huh?
They're too young. Their kids are younger. Like,
but they may have a neighbor or a Shabbos guest that they bumped into that might be suitable. Like, they don't have to have kids of marriageable age, but... some acquaintances may know other people that might be suitable. I'm saying anyone that you might be close to could be somebody you work with, anybody that you feel really comfortable with, not just Stam. Okay, it doesn't have to be a whole network official thing. It could be anybody that you're close to that cares about you, would love to see your daughter get married. That kind of person you could send it to and say, just a reminder, my daughter's still available if you came across a nice guy and you send the profile. You never know where it's going to come from. That's what I mean by hishtadlus. Like, let's make a keli. You never know where it's going to come from. And those WhatsApp things worked.
I wonder if people feel, I don't know, I'm not saying me or anybody here, but just in general, people feel uncomfortable because it kind of makes...
That's why I say choose the people. Choose the people that's close to you that won't make fun. They really care. People that really care, like close to you. Do you know what I mean?
Wait, what did you say?
I said I'm shameless. I do. Like, you know, just there's nothing embarrassing about having a kid who turned 21.
Yeah. If it's somebody close to you, again, it's not for the public. Okay?
Public can also know. She's 21.
I know. She's probably in the WhatsApp group somewhere, but that's fine. But I'm saying the WhatsApp message to remind people once a month. Another one, which I didn't share with you, is to remind your, if you all have at least 3 shatchanim that you're working with, not just one, never put all your eggs in one basket. At least 3 to work with. three that you find out from other people are worthwhile? Like, ask one to refer another one because they usually know each other. Say, who do you think is also another good shadchan, so it's not all on your plate? Maybe somebody has other ideas. I only have a limited... By the way, I only work with people that I interview. See, I found out before I started this system, I used to just have a pile of profiles like all shadchanim have. Nobody does this. I made it up. I used to have for years a pile of profiles and go, okay, who do I have for this one? And it was a guessing game. It was a shot in the dark. I really don't know them. It was a pile of profiles like people gave me. Can you take my daughter's profile? She's ready for shidduch. And I go, sure. The Eibishter is in charge. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I go, hey, maybe this one for that one. And it worked, you know. But I found out with time that everybody got disillusioned, especially the singles that were getting older. They said, I had enough of being set up with the wrong people. And it's an emotional drainage. It's really killing us emotionally. I can't date again the wrong person. So I decided to create this niche where I will get to know each one individually as well as I can, as if I dated them for 2 hours. Like, I really get to know them, what they need. And I work with them. And I've put together within this. So I would take this one and put it together with that one. Remember, the Eibishter is really in charge here, and he's giving me all the people that he needs to be put together. Like, it sounds crazy. So I've matched people within the people that I interview, right? So what I'm saying is, I forgot what the question was. I drifted. It's super important to find a good shadchan that will recommend people that they actually interview, which some shadchanim do. And hopefully, so I could recommend one or two other ones. I say to have a few shadchanim to work with, not just one. Okay, so that's one suggestion. Like you said, there's WhatsApp groups. One shidduch that I recently made came from a WhatsApp group with two people that went one after another. Like, literally, there was the boy and then the girl. And I go, hey, that looks like a match on a WhatsApp group. And I went ahead and pursued it. And lo and behold, that couple, she was 2 years older than him. She was 22 and he was 20. Can you believe it? So anyone would get turned off and say, no, 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 that's not a match. Why would she go out with somebody 20? She's so much more mature, more accomplished. It turned out it took a long time, like a few months, and they actually got married, Baruch Hashem. It worked. She overlooked, and that's another subject. When we do with our children the deal breakers, we say to them, this is going to break the deal. You're not dating someone. You can't have a lot. You can only have 5, right? So don't tell me that he must be 5'10 and over. Because if you're going to waste the deal breaker on height, you're missing on something so important. There's so many more important things. So I encourage mothers to do this exercise with their singles, or send them to me if you want me to do it my way, where they let go of most things that are okay to let go, like the age, relocatable, or location, where they're going to live, where they live, or the height, you know, there's so many challenging questions that kids, when they put on their list, you know what I used to go into seminary to do this course with them. I'd say, everybody take out a paper and write down 30 things you wish for in your spouse, 30. And they list 30 things. Then I say, I want you to take off 10. Oi, I can't live without. And then they do. They take off 10. And then I say, okay, now I need you to take off another 10. What can you live without? What is workable? What is possible? And you could do this with your single. What is possible that you could do? And if he's not so organized, fine, you're organized. Can you live with that? So I need you to take off 10 more. And they go crazy. They start screaming, no, no. They're down to 10. I say, okay, I have one more request. I need you to take off another 5. I want you to leave 5 things that are absolute non-negotiable. And of course, they're all screaming, the 30 girls in seminary in the screen, no, Mrs. Leader, you're so not fair. I can't, da 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 da. And they end up with their 5. I explain there's no such thing as a perfect person that's going to have all of those things. That's our dream. That's our fantasy. They're not going to be that or have that. But you must know at least the five things that you absolutely need to have, like whatever they are. And interesting, from the 400 people I've interviewed, almost everybody has the similar five things. Almost everybody comes up with the similar, I'm talking about the title, not so much the details, but the title, similar five things. What do you think, I'm going to ask you ladies, is the number one that 99% of people, singles, are looking for? The number one. Then there's four more, but what's the number one? I have the statistics. What?
A mensch.
So when they give me that, I always say, I don't know what a mensch looks like to you. You need to give me a word that describes a mensch. Give me a word to describe it. What does a mensch look like to you? What does he have to behave or be or do? So I know he's a mensch. Because everybody has a different interpretation of what a mensch is.
So I'm curious, what is the top thing?
Okay. Ladies, what could be the number one that most singles want?
I'm not sure, but I know that recently, yeah, because it sounds amazing. Recently, I just came across my daughter's top five.
Yeah.
Because it was, basically I have a group with my husband called Shidduchim. So we put, like, we post, originally it was just me on my own. And so the description on top was my daughter's top five that she reviewed with you. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I forgot what her five non-negotiables are. I read it, I'm like, wow, that's my son-in-law. That was crazy. I don't think she realized when she, I mean, everything happened so fast, like you said, I don't think she really realized when she was going out with him and take that off, or maybe she did. But we certainly didn't know my son-in-law as well as we know him now. And really, that fits his description. Just really cute.
Anybody have a guess what the number one is?
Is it caring?
That is in the right direction. Should I tell you?
Good. Good heart. Good person.
Yeah. So the number one that most singles want is kind-hearted and good-hearted. And I will say to them, okay, I need your interpretation of a kind-hearted person. Tell me what it means to you. What does he have to do or behave to? By the way, I'm telling this to you so you could tell it to your singles when you do it with them. You say to him, what does it mean to you, a kind-hearted person? I don't want just the word mensch or kind-hearted. I want their interpretation. Tell me what it means to you. And they have to think, caring. And you write it down. So kind-hearted is the big word and big and bold, number one. And under that, you write like subtitles. Okay, caring, a mensch, compassionate. They'll start giving me words that describe a kind-hearted person.
Yeah.
Listening, you know, put others first, ahead of themselves. And they'll keep giving me words that describe a kind-hearted person for them. Because everybody has a different description. So I need their interpretation. Then I'll go to value number two. And then three and four and five, they get five values. And so I could tell you generally what most people want. If you just want to hear it, I could tell it to you. Another one, number two, most popular is emotionally, mentally stable. And then I would say, but it would, through my questioning, they would end up saying that. I don't give it away. I would say things like, okay, so tell me what else is a value that you must have in a relationship. They have to think. So I challenge their brain, I pick their brain, and they come up with it. So I say, okay, you're talking about emotionally, mentally stable. Great. What does it mean to you? And they give me their interpretation. Everybody has a different one, what they really need. You know, I need somebody positive thinker or someone that doesn't have a temper, like whatever. They'll give me what stable looks like to them. Another one, that's number two. Another value is responsibility, life skills, I call it. Being responsible, dependable, financially. They'll give me their list of what it means to have good life skills, like to be able to go out there and support and have parnassa, whatever it means to them. So that's another one, life skills. And, you know, like I said, there's five of them. Another one is, I say, there's something missing here. there's one thing that nobody mentioned, and they think it's really challenging. And I said, he could be a crook, a liar, not loyal, you know, that doesn't, whatever, tell you the truth. He's not honest and trustworthy. And, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't put a value on honesty, for sure. It's number four, honest. And I say, what does it mean to you? Someone that has integrity. Let me tell you a big question that everyone that I interview asks me, how do I find out on a date that they qualify those five things? How do I find out? I could ask and they'll say, sure, I'm honest. And then what? It doesn't mean they are. So I'm going to tell you, because I don't want to miss this important one. You could teach this to your children. How does one know that the person they're dating qualifies? So let's take, for example, honesty. If one of her things was to have integrity, like honesty to me means someone that has integrity, they'll do the right thing. Even when nobody's looking, that to me is such a big value. That's a deal breaker. Okay, fine. How are we going to find out on a date? So I tell them the following. I say, you could share this story, and I want you to notice the date first reaction, the body language, and the first words that come out of his mouth. Okay, just like in the research, I told you to look for the first words that come out of the mouth. Here it is on a date. This girl is dating Yossi, and she says the following story. This is an example. So I'm coming out of Macy's. She's telling her date, I'm coming out of Macy's with my friend Chani. And suddenly Chani realizes that the shoes in her bag was not accounted for. The lady at the cashier did not put in $200 for the shoes. Wow, I can't believe it. I'm telling this to my date. So I couldn't believe it. Here, Chani got her shoes for free. And Chani says, no, I must go back and return them. And I look at the girl telling the story, looks at her date and looks for his reaction. Either he's going to have two reactions. One, either he's going to say, of course she has to. I couldn't live with something I didn't pay for. And right away she'll know, okay, integrity, yep. Or he'll say, listen, it's Macy's, the goyim anyway, I don't know who's in charge, and they slipped it in, and she didn't do anything, you know. Or I would ask a rev when I get home, like, she didn't do anything. Like, he'll have a reaction, either the positive or the negative, and she will know by telling a story if he really has integrity or not. You don't ask the question straight out, you tell a story that brings out the reaction, and she should never tell her reaction while telling the story, because then he'll just maybe jump along with her. Yeah, I agree with you. So she says nothing. She says, what do you think? What would you do? She never gives it away what her thoughts are, because she wants him to share his real... What do you think about that? Anybody have a take on that?
Yeah, and in that reaction, he could be like, oh, your friend doesn't know what she's talking about, and then...
This spells it all out. It spells it all out without her having to ask the question. Better than all the research is telling a story of what's important to you and seeing their reaction. I'll never forget when I went out with my husband 46 years ago. Went out on a date and I knew exactly what I wanted. One of the things I wanted more than anything is to have a large family, like a lot of kids, like as much as Hashem would bless me with. And so I spoke about it. I didn't ask him, so what do you think? Would you like to have a lot of kids or just a few? Do you have the nerves, the patience? What are your thoughts about a family, large, small, medium? I didn't ask him questions. All I did was spoke about how important it is to me to have my dream come true. I had this vision and I spoke about it, and he elaborated on my vision more than what I said. Like, oh my gosh, that's my dream, to have a big Shabbos table with tons of family and guests, like the whole vision of what, even bigger than what I thought. And that's how I knew that I'm on the right track with him. So we don't ask directly, we talk about our value and see their reaction. That's my point. Okay.
Ben, I'm just wondering, like, what you think is a good relationship between the parents and the shatran, and like how much questions I guess the parents could ask the shatran about the conversation with the kids, because I'm like so curious to ask what my daughter's, you know, five deal breakers are. And
You need to know what they are in order to, are you making the research for your daughter?
No, no, I don't want to know what she tells me. I want to know if she tells all everybody the same thing. No, I'm sort of joking about that, but like in dating, I know that they talk directly to the chaplain, and I want to respect that.
But you need to know what I know. You need to know. You need to know what I know as a chatrin, so you could do the research based on the truth.
Right, right. But what about during the dating process?
Ah, that's something else. So while they're dating, they could choose to go back to the chatrin, or the mother could report back to me. It's really their prerogative. It's up to them. Every girl
right,
is different.
I'm asking about the mother and the chatrin.
Right. So what's the question then about the mother and the chatrin?
The question is when the kid talks to the chatrin, is there sort of like what's the
confidentiality you mean
between the chaplain and the kid? Yeah,
I think it's very individual. I think it's very.
I want to talk to the chaplain after every. Like, I want to talk.
If you have that kind of open relationship with your daughter, to say that, be transparent with him. Say, I want to know. Tell her what you want. She may say, "Sure, Ma. You know, we're in for the same good. We're on the same page." And we're all in on this together. I don't think it should be separated. I think it's best, but it's not ideal. Not everybody could do that. So if you can, it's the best scenario. If you can't, it's also fine. I sometimes deal directly with the girls and they don't want their mothers involved at all. And that's fine. They have to respect it. You know, it's so individual. So individual. It's highly recommended if we could all be on the same page together and be open and transparent. We'll get the best results for our kids. But if we can't, it's also okay.
If I'm understanding, I don't know if this is your question, Hanoha, or this is part of your question, but is there some sort of an unspoken rule where the chatrin will relay some piece of information to the mother just to have a little bit more like hatracha and like, because for the girl, it's like, confusing, and let the mother and the chatrin also be in touch.
That's what I'm saying.
The daughter that
yeah.
feels uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not saying that the daughter should be open because sometimes it's difficult, but maybe the mother should be made aware of certain things just to help the daughter like continue.
At the end of the day, we're adults in the picture, so we should treat the other as an adult to know what a general idea, at least what's going on. I've had stories where the girls say to me, I don't want my mother involved, or you can tell her a little bit, but not everything. You know, tell her it's fine, but don't tell her how good it is. You know, things like that. So we have to respect that. It's a juggling act, you know, respect that, yet share with the mother a little bit, whatever we can. It should go smooth. It shouldn't be so difficult. Another thing I didn't mention, what I do, but if you're not working with me, what I do is I tell everybody to contact me every 2 weeks till the day they're engaged. I ask. They say, I don't want to nudge you. You're not nudging me. I'm asking you to. Send me one word, available or busy. I get that every day. It's not nudging. I have a WhatsApp group called Recent Profiles. What is that? Every day that I get those 5 or 10 people reminding me that they're available, they go into that group called Recent Profiles, right? There's a group called, and then every night I look at all those recent profiles, the ones that just, I used to call nudgers, because these mothers would call me every 2 weeks, like I asked them to. So it was my own personal time. Then I said, it doesn't look good. I'll call them recent profiles. Recent means they remind me. So I have a group of reminders. If you don't remind me every 2 weeks, you fall down the bottom of, why should I go there if you're not reminding me? That's the criteria for me to help you get your shidduch. You got to remind me. That's the way I work. So I'm telling you about me. But all shatchanim have 100 or 200 other people on their list that they're working with. People that either gave them a little tickle, a little gift, a little tip. So either those people or people that remind them that say, hi. They put up a little waving hand. Hi, my daughter's still available. And they will look at those. But if you don't remind them, it falls down, 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 down. I had somebody call me after like 6 months that I interviewed them. They go, you know, 6 months went by. You didn't give me one idea. I said, I didn't hear from you. How am I supposed to chase 400 people? Tell me. How? I said, I told you in the beginning, I need a reminder. Every shatran needs a reminder. So I'm letting you know that. Don't be angry at the shatranim. They're working on this day and night, and they're picking on the ones that remind them. Okay? Another tip. There's so many.
If you don't answer, okay, the recent call, and if the shatran doesn't answer, so you consider as, Teresa, if I text?
You could ask them again and say, sorry to bother you again. Can you just let me know if you could have my daughter in mind? She could just answer yes or no. Mm-hmm. Maybe she didn't see it, or maybe she was so busy with 100 things. Remember that we're running lives here, like regular family life. So mm-hmm. It's not, we're not just sitting day and night like this with... I do it because I have nobody home, so I'm fine. But a lot of other shatranim are running families or shlichus or whatever. And it could have just passed by and they didn't see your... So I would do it again and say, just yes or no, did you receive my email or my text? A reminder, my daughter is available. I would select 3 active shatranim that are recommended. And can I tell you what one lady did? She's from Ottawa, I think. Years ago, she had like 3 daughters of marriageable age, 3, one after another, and it wasn't happening. So somebody gave her the idea and said, you know what, pick 5 shatranim. This is what she told me, like 10 years ago, she told me this. Pick 5 shatranim, give them each $350. That's $1,500 investment. She said it was the best investment in my life. She gave each of those 5 shatranim $350 and said, here's my 3 daughters' profiles, please have them in mind. Within a year, all 3 were married. They got to work. Even subconsciously, they had her in mind because they already got the money. They felt bad, like they have to do it for her. I'm just giving you tips what works.
Fair. When you said that we should have at least minimum 3 shatranim, I was like, oh, I think I'm at 33, but I'm joking. That was just a joke. But what shatranim would you recommend that actually will give names and think about if we don't have anybody in our own, if we don't have names of people, who are the shatranim you recommend?
I can only recommend who I know. Like there's 100 of them out there. So the ones that I personally know, like I've met them and we talk sometimes, we try to exchange ideas sometimes. I know Chani Raskin is very good. Chani Roxon, and Shandel Blasberg. Very successful, those two. They really put their heart and soul into a lot of shidduchim. There's Leah Eisenbach. No, Leah, is her name Eisenbach? This is what I heard. I don't know
Leah
a person.
Gansberg.
Yeah. I heard.
Leah
okay. Gansberg? No, I just heard. I never spoke to her in my life. I heard she's good. There's a lady in England called, but I don't know personally, so I'm not going to say. These are the couple that I'm familiar with personally. There's good ones out there. We just have to keep asking. You could ask them for other ones as well.
But your sister also, no?
Leia, she's not so active, but she knows. If you need a girl, if you have a boy, she knows all the girls in California. If you need anyone if you have a boy, she knows every single girl in California, the whole California. Her name's Leia Pearl. So yeah, she would help you if you need. Because she works in the school and... Okay. Should I move on or should we have questions? Should I keep going? What do you think? Keep going? Yeah? You're good with time? Okay. There's something called scale of 1 to 10. I must have picked it up from somewhere. I don't know where. 20 years ago. It is brilliant. It works. And I teach it to everyone. And what is that? While they're dating, while your child is dating... and they come back from the dates. That's if you have a good open communication with them and they want to share. I would say to them on a scale of 1 to 10, how did the date go for you? Now, 5 would be neutral. 6 means good. 7 is very good. 8 is, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And 9 is, this is the one. 10 is, we're going to the aisle, we're getting engaged. But under 5 is bad news. Like, I really don't want to date again. Okay? Got the idea? So I've had situations as a shatran, I just want you to be aware of it, where the girl said to me, it was an 8 right away, the first 8. It was an 8, was so good, he's so spot on, it's everything, I want to see him again. The guy said 4 or 5, same date. He wasn't so excited like she was. So it gave me a reading, and it didn't mean anything bad or good. It just meant this is where they're up to. And they went out again and again, and he was climbing very, very slowly. She stayed on the 8 the whole way through. He went from 4 to 5 to 6. They went out probably 10 times. By the 10th date, he reached like a 7, 8. Like, that's how long it took him. He was in most cases, they're going to be on 2 different planets, both of them. Very rarely I do get this one that just happened. I told you South Africa, the algorithm, they were both on 8 right away. So that happens. But most cases, they're, one is slower than the other. It's nothing to be worried about. It just takes more time. They're usually complementary. Their personalities, one's a doer, and so he's attracted to that. He's a thinker, and she's attracted, and it works at the end. Anyway, so the scale of 1 to 10 is great. Let me tell you in a practical way how you could make use of it as a wife, as a mother. I use it in my family. My daughter, for example, my married daughter, said to me one day, calls me up, Ma, I really need to talk to you. It's important. And I go, ooh, I have an appointment at 12 o'clock. I could see at 1 o'clock. She goes, no, I really want to go now. It's urgent. It's sitting here. It's something really important. I go, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for you that I should give up my appointment? I'll move it up. I'll call them and change it. She goes, on a scale of 9, 10. I go, whoa, it's important. Okay, sure, I'll cancel my appointment. That's not the dentist. I could change it. That putting a number to what's important and not changed so much for us in our family, in our life, even with me and my husband. Let me give you an example. He wanted me to go with him to a bar mitzvah of one of his students. He said, it's so important I come with my wife. We're both invited. I said, yes, that we're both coming. I go, no, I don't want to go. I don't know anybody there. And I have a headache tonight. I don't feel well. I'm tired. And I don't know one person. I really don't want to go. He goes, okay, let's go. On a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you not want to go? I go, 7.5. And I say to him, how badly do you want me to come with you? He goes, 8, 9. Okay, fine, I'll go get dressed. And I washed up and I had a shower and I got dressed and I went with him because his was a 9, mine was a 7.5. It really helps in so many different ways because we could keep going in circles and you don't really know what the other one means or feels, but you put a number and it does some magic. So I'm just sharing that with you. I had a few stories happen, and the reason I'm picking this, because I know I'm limited, this story of a girl. I made this shidduch with this girl and boy, and nobody mentioned that she's living in Chicago and he was living in Crown Heights on Eastern Parkway. And so comes time, they both agreed to date. And I say to him, okay, let me get the address for you, thinking it's going to be Montgomery Street or President Street. And I say to her, okay, so what's your address? And she gives me an address in Chicago. I go, whoa, you didn't tell me you're in Chicago. I had no idea. So I say, okay, I'll have to tell him. Anyway, I call him and I say, so sorry, but we just slipped on the detail that she's in Chicago. Can you take a plane to meet her in Chicago? And he said, sure, I'll do that tomorrow morning, whatever. So we made a time. He goes down to Chicago, dates her. She comes out of the date and she says to me, Mrs. Leader, I'll never forget these words, get him out of my face. I don't want to see him ever again. I go, why? What happened? She says, he was so egoistical. He was so into himself. All he spoke about is how great he was. And not for me. And I go, oh my gosh. And he schlepped to Chicago. And I said, you know what? Could we give it one more date just because he came out special? Like tomorrow, during the day, maybe you'll see another side of him. My message, wait, I'm going to tell you the story what happened, but my message is to always give it a second chance, even if it looks black and white bad. Like this one looked really 100% bad, but always try to encourage a second date, no matter what. So I did, thankfully, because he was from New York traveling to Chicago. Okay. That night I call him up before he takes her out on the second date, and I call him up and I say, listen, you're a very fine bacher and there's so many good qualities about you, but can I give you some tips if you don't mind? She's very emotionally charged girl, like emotional intelligence is very high in her. And I know you're very intelligent. You have a very high IQ. You're a smart, intelligent boy. Is it possible on the next date tomorrow when you go out with her to tune into emotion more than, you know, everything else? Like when she says a feeling, can you repeat it back to her and say, oh, I get what you're saying. You feel that. And I gave him these little tips of how to recognize what she's saying and to repeat it back to her, like to acknowledge it. Let's say she says, yesterday was such a hard day for me. I went to sleep so late and I had to show up to take a test. So you need to say something like, whoa, that's hard to wake up and take a test first thing in the morning when you went to sleep. So like repeat back to her in your own words and acknowledge what she said and feel what she felt. Like say it to her. If you could do that, your conversations can go so much better. So he said, yeah, I'll give that a shot. Anyway, with a bit of coaching, he went out on the second date. They come back 6 hours later. And she says, Mrs. Leader, I'm bringing him home to show him to my family. I can't believe what a great guy he is. And it turned the whole thing inside out. And they got married. It's 2 years later now. They're married, happily married. It's amazing what a little suggestion can do. Don't just take everything at face value, like that's it, not working, not good. Try to get underneath why it didn't work and try to even coach or get somebody to coach to mend whatever needs to be mended because it could maybe work. He said, by the way, the date went very well, the first date. He had a good time. Of course, he was talking all about himself. But a bit of coaching can make that difference, and they're happily married. Anyway, I needed you to know that I had another shidduch also in Israel. She said, I want to marry an Israeli, but an American Israeli. She was in Israel. So I set up, and I forgot the part about American Israeli. I set up with this Israeli guy. She goes out with him, and he doesn't understand a word English. She comes back and says, it was great, but I had to struggle with my Hebrew. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. And I said, you know what? He had a good time. Let's try it again. And with that little encouragement, they ended up, Baruch Hashem, happily married. And he's breaking his teeth with the English. It's fine. Everything is workable with a bit of coaching. Don't just jump to conclusions with them on, because they're still young, our kids, and they need our guidance. And we could do that little bit extra to tweak it and say, you know, maybe not. Maybe one more date, you could see another side of him. And maybe get the shatran to coach him a little bit if you think there was a good chance. Oh, what else? What else? What else? What else? What else? If there's a dating plateau, I don't know if that ever happened to any of you where they're dating for 10 dates and I still don't know. I still don't know. He's nice on paper. Everything is working, but I don't feel it. You know how many times I heard that? But I don't feel it. Mrs. Leader, what should we do? The feeling is, I said, you're not going to get that crazy in love, crazy about you feeling. You just keep dating until you'll know. And I encourage them to keep dating. There's a lot of coaching that needs to go into that. What is missing? I think today's youth think that there's got to be all the sparks flying. So I have a list of 30 questions in my website called Dealing with Dating Plateau that you could look it up. And there are 30 questions that I would ask them. Do you feel proud to go on the street and say, this is my chassan? And if she answers no to most of them, okay, you got your answer. But if everything checks up, because they're good questions, they're very good questions, like, I forgot what they are. You look it up. If she answers yes to all of them, then you're on a good thing. Just keep dating until you'll know. So that's a good handy thing to have. We're going to share with you my...
I think sometimes singles and the parents also need to be reminded, like here, she probably didn't even realize the beauty that she found in the couplehood and the relationship she had. Literally, it had to be proven to her.
Yeah. Yep.
She had to prove herself.
I know. We need to be our kids' coaches, or at least get a coach for them where they could actually work through these things, because we could lose so many shidduchim. I'll tell you the worst case scenario that I bump into, in case you want to know, by the way, are the very good bachrim, so to speak, very good, very chassidish good bachrim, that say, nah, I don't feel it. In the picture, I don't feel it. It's not for me. Do you have anybody else? That's the worst case scenario. That's driving me mad. Like, they're really off, these boys, where they just need to be super attracted to the girl on the picture before saying, yes, okay, fine, I'll date her. So what I started to do is make an offer to everybody here. I'd say only about 20% of the people agreed to it, to make me a little video clip of, like, I call it a talking profile, where they say a few words about themselves and a few words about what they're looking for. For example, hi, I'm Toby Leader. I'm 26 years old. I'm a shadchan, and what I'm most passionate about is bringing people together, seeing them get married, finding their beshert. And what I'm looking for in a spouse is someone that's just like a good-hearted person, more than everything else. He just has to be a good person, whatever. So they, for 1 minute, describe their passion, for 1 minute, what they're looking for. Now, this video clip does not get sent around, because everybody says, oh, I don't want my clip to get viral. People should see it. So what I do is, when there's a possible shidduch that I think is a good idea, I say, can I show you? And I get on FaceTime and I show them with my phone the clip. So it never gets sent digitally to anybody. Nobody gets it. They just watch it. 13 couples I married today because of the video. 13 I'm married today. One of them, usually the guy says, not for me. And I go, wait, I have a video clip I'm going to show you. You'll see her live, her body language, her emotions. You'll see the color on her face. Come on, let me show you the video. I show them the clip and they go, you're right. Okay, fine, I'll go out with her. That little video has married off 13 people, couples. Why? Because the pictures do not work. It's not happening for us. And I say, only me, humble me, that is contributing to the shidduch crisis. The photos on the profiles are not the people. That is not a person. That is not who they are at all. It's nothing related to them even. Not even 1% who the person is. We cannot judge and go through 100 profiles till we find the one that's stunning, that speaks to us, and we go, oh, now you're talking. I'll go out with her. The blonde Barbie doll, whatever. And they find out it's nothing. It's empty. It's just ridiculous, and that's just my take on it. So if, here's the end of that. Let me sum it up. If we can't fight City Hall, and we have to produce a picture, and we have to produce a profile, and we have no option, because that's what the world is asking for, then make sure it's the best possible one that you could do, because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. That is the first impression that everybody gets of your child, is the picture and the profile. And I once got a profile where somebody just scribbled with a pencil all their information. I said, you know what? You're telling a lot about yourself, that you have no time for marriage. You have no time to even be presentable. He's probably a schlamazel, a schlump, whatever, because all you're doing is apparently marriage is like number 100 on your list of things to do, because you put no effort into a profile. The more professional your profile looks, and I always show everybody in my interview how to make a proper, good-looking profile, a good profile and a good picture, the best one that you could come up with, because, and the video if you can, because that is what people are going on. So we just have to play the game. But at least give the best possible. Shocking pictures, some of them. Some of them are cut off like three girls in a row, and they cut out the two, and then they say, here is a picture for the profile. put an effort. It's the most important thing in your life. Getting married, we need to put maximum effort to make that only impression look the best you can. And thank you very much. And I'll open to questions.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
You gave us a little bit of marriage tools.
Yeah.
The 1 to 10.
Yeah.
That one.
By the way, in my website, which you'll get, I have tons of articles and ideas and tips and inspiration. So you're welcome to have a look. Go on. Yeah. Any questions?
You know, I want to ask, but I know, I think I'm like the only one here that has an older child.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everybody wants a shidduch for their child. It doesn't matter, older or younger.
No, yeah. No, but I in the other side of that project of yours, you know, you put in the back of the...
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's interesting. You know, it's a little, like I'm on the other side already. And
she graduated.
I'm kind of like, sometimes I think, like when people give me names, when they give me names, right? Because I actually don't get names. But I always think like, why he's not married yet? I know that people ask, why
is she not married yet? Yeah.
Right. But I can't get this out of my mind. I don't know. I think maybe because boys are easier for them. Especially if they're a good guy, you know. So now it became like I'm in a different phase. I'm like scared, you know. Even with the name, like,
I know you. You're more suspicious with the names today than you were 10 years ago.
Yes. And when we get from name from Shatman, I never get. But if I get, they don't know about him also, you know. And then I have to ask references, and then
you need to select a few shatchanim and be on their case every 2 weeks. They'll forget about you otherwise.
I know, but they don't know the person.
They have to get to know them. So get them. So they need, listen, they need to get to know in order to be able to suggest. You need to make an investment. Remember what I said in the beginning, if you keep doing what you did, you'll keep getting what you got. So it's time for change.
Yeah.
Let's do something different.
Very well, yeah.
Thank you very much, ladies. I think we did the hour. Yeah?
Yeah, it was amazing. I just want to say an answer for the age. Much. My son-in-law was 26 when he was suggested for my daughter. And we were like, I was like, oh, why? Okay, like, where was he? He's very good. I'm like, what has he been doing for the past year? It's like, obviously, it came up to my head. And, the person that suggested it, she got married later in life. So I was like too embarrassed to tell her that. And she married someone younger than her.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, whatever. And so, but I remember my son also, it wasn't a comment meant to be negative. It was just simple. Like, oh, he's like 26.
You wonder. Yeah.
And guess what? My son, my son-in-law, Baruch Hashem, now my son is 26, he's single. So the good boys also are getting older. Some good boys.
Okay. Thank you.
There's one
out there. Okay. Thank
you. I have a question for you about how many times do you ask when you get a no from someone?
What do you
ask again?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean let somebody else ask. Like completely different, like out of the box, like somebody that you know that knows them, get them to ask. If I think something's amazing and I really want it badly, I would get different people to ask from different corners. That it doesn't look obvious, even though it may come out like that, but I would go for it. Don't take the first no, if you really believe in it.
It sounds like for my husband, so I was the one saying I was very, very young, and I was like, no way. And it really came from so many. I was thinking this was the days before WhatsApp, but I was thinking like everybody's like consulting behind my back, and this one's coming and say, have a great, you know, idea for you, and then I hear it's him, like, again. I'm like, I don't want to hear it anymore, you know?
You see? So it could work by the end. Like, oh, it's Bashir. Somebody else mentioned it. I've seen successful things happen that way. I also highly encourage to revisit old ones that said no a year ago, to go back to it again. Because I know a few couples, like five for sure, that a year went by and then they got engaged. You know, it just wasn't the right time.
I just heard somebody, that's exactly what I just heard, and I know someone else also.
Yeah.
The story I just heard is literally 2 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, now they're married with four kids. Yeah. But they went out.
It didn't work. It wasn't the right time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You said you're going to share your notes with us?
I'll send it to you now, and you could share it with everyone. It's notes what I just spoke about today. You may notice that some things might not have been mentioned, so just ignore it, but at least you have most of it, okay? Because otherwise it'll be another hour.
Thank you for your time. And I feel like we all made a Kaylee, and this was our Shadlus. And thank you.
If I can help anyone in any way, you can always contact me by WhatsApp and just say, Mrs. Leader, my daughter, I'm happy to help. I'm not going to charge you. No. You know, just mention that you're from Mati's group. Okay? So if you need any assistance and you need somebody to turn to, I'm available. Okay?
1 second. How much
is it?
Sorry?
How much do you charge?
I'll send you the information privately.
Okay.
All right. See you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was amazing.